cliffcentral.com. Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the cliffcentral.com website, where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com, unscripted, uncensored, and radio. It is 2 minutes past 10 on Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with Jonty Searle, and Tamar's here. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And it is so cool to have Anastasia back in the studio with us. We have missed you.
It's not actually me. It's just a holographic representation.
That's fine. We'll take whatever we can get.
It's twice as bitchy and half as funny.
Oh, no.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. The funny's fine because you're really funny. The bitchy part, yeah.
Well, you can be anything you like today.
No, you can be flirtatious. Flirtatious.
Flirtatious.
Flirtatious. It's between malicious and flirty somewhere.
I can only be what I am.
Okay.
For better or worse.
Okay, so.
Hell yeah.
Romance and flirting, very interesting topics. And I thought about this a lot, and I'm kind of really looking forward to this. I kind of got a vague idea where we're going, which is going to be interesting.
That's new.
Yeah, we haven't done that before.
No. So let's start with this.
Ninja sex.
Chocolate starfish.
Twitter bag.
Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
cross bunny.
Dirty dictionary word.
Any clues?
Well, I think you didn't get the memo. Easter was last week.
Yes.
And cross hot buns, you know, and bunnies are not in fashion anymore.
Okay.
It's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nowhere near, but it was kind of good. Hot cross buns are good year-round. Let's just get clear on
this,
okay?
That's awesome. That's so true. And there I only discovered them when I arrived to South Africa. That's like 30 years too late.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So it's, but you know what is coming up next month is Pesach, Passover. And you know what I saw in the supermarket yesterday? Chocolate matzah.
I thought you were going to say that. But try to wet your matzah. It sounds, you know, perverted as always. Mm. But wet your matzah a bit under the tap, a bit of Nutella. Leave the chocolate matzah. Mm. I don't think Nutella is kosher, though, eh? No.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Cross bunny, any idea?
I'm just going to assume that's what happens when your vibrator runs out of batteries.
Okay. Nowhere near. So let us know what a cross bunny is. Join our conversation on 0861-555-189. We're on WeChat. We are on, what else are we on?
We are on sextalk_cliffc. And we are on Eros Life Facebook.
Very cool. So we are all over the place today.
Yes.
Very cool. Romance and flirting. Are these lost arts? Have we moved from a romance culture to a sex culture? What is romance? Why is it important? Because I think, for me, romance connects very much with sensuality. I kind of made that strong connection. And the idea that romance can keep a relationship more alive than sex can.
I agree.
What do you think about that?
Well, I was under the impression that romance is swiping right. Is that not accurate?
Exactly. That's what it is. That's what came to my mind as well when Jonty was talking.
So it's very much this kind of, we've moved to something that is, to a world that's incredibly direct. That's very much about the goal. That's not about being in the moment. That's not about really enjoying an experience, a ride, a journey, and we just want to kind of get to the sex. Music has changed, movies have changed, everything's changed to get to this kind of, this like, in a way, sort of nasty Everything's on the table from the beginning. It's
yeah.
Like, I don't want to get to know you. I want to fuck you.
Yeah. But you know what? It's because this world has become so practical.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has like, you know, there's a reason why we're doing everything. Mm. Everything needs to be shortened time. Everything needs to be, you know, why are you doing this very on the table, as you say? And romance, because like everything else can become cliche or can become manipulative or can, you know, there can be other agendas behind romance. So, you know, it was kind of like, let's cut to the chase.
Mm.
I'm not sure what you're all about. If you're going to bring me flowers, you want to fuck me. But if you're going to swipe right, you also want to fuck me. So just
that's kind of interesting. The one little phrase that you said, bring me flowers, because this brings up a lot. And I get asked a lot by women, why don't men know how to be romantic?
They don't. They're not wired and like that.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if it's something that we had, and over kind of two generations, we've lost that. And what does being romantic actually mean? Because you ask most guys, so how do you plan a romantic evening? And they're kind of at a loss. And then they say,
yeah, Netflix and chill, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to bring you flowers.
Yeah.
Or chocolate or a bottle of booze. That
that's
we can,
what it says in the manual.
That's it. But is that what romance really is?
Well, it's not one size fits all.
No, but I think that gets to the very kind of tip of the iceberg.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. And that's it. Because a lot of times that's not what romance is. So let's put some ideas on the table and let's maybe kind of give you guys some ideas of how to be romantic and what that actually means. So the first thing for me for romance is it's being present.
Turn off the sharks.
Yeah. Because that's what it is. It's like I'm here with you. And whether we're dancing or whether we're listening to music or whether we're just kind of together, there's a ghost in the door of the studio.
It's a very interesting ghost today coming and
going. The ghost of romance past.
It's finished. It's gone. Died. So,
what? And it's really being there with somebody. Because romance was kind of focusing on somebody.
Yeah.
And it was being there. Technology has played a big part in
killing
romance. Because we think that I send you these hot messages or these hot pictures or these sexy pictures, and that's being romantic.
No subtlety.
No, because that's an important element of romance. It's kind of that subtle. And it goes very much with flirting.
True.
And we've kind of lost.
And with sensuality.
Yeah. And we've lost that idea of just flirting with somebody. And that's kind of fun and it's exciting and it doesn't mean anything necessarily. It's not always going somewhere.
The weird part is that flirting becomes just flirting. There's nothing behind it. So it's the whole excitement. That's the only thing that stands behind it. It's that what's going to happen and is she going to say yes? And that's it. But then there's no consistency. Yeah.
There's no kind of build up to something.
It's just the excitement.
Yeah. And the excitement is actually the build up. So Devon says, bath with your lover with roses and candles.
Again?
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. But again, you know, it's almost like, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Do you just fill up the bath? Your partner just came back from work. Come, baby. You know, get into the bath. It's more about how you do it.
So a lot of romance is about kind of setting the scene, creating the space, making a space for a connection, for us to be there with each other. And that means being present. And it also means learning about what your partner, what your lover actually does enjoy. And that's a big one, because it's sometimes what you think and what they think are kind of quite far apart in a lot of ways. So you got to learn. So you're going to bring her flowers or him, even him flowers, which is an interesting one. Can you take a man flowers?
Can you give him flowers?
Yeah.
Well, Anastasia, do you have any...
Oh, sure like, you can. You know, you can do anything
absolutely.
That you want.
Absolutely.
Whether it's going to make him feel threatened and whether it will... if he has a penis, it might fall off due to the insecurity and the fragile masculinity. That can definitely happen.
So let's just do this. What's your favorite flower, out of curiosity?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot there.
Yes.
I like an orchid.
Orchid. Tomorrow?
Lilies.
Lilies.
Okay. Their smell is intoxicating. I'm absolutely a huge fan of lilies.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Orchids scare me a little bit. They look like the monstrous flower. Well, yeah, they're
very
beautiful.
Sexual. Orchids.
Very sexual.
Very, very sexual. Mm-hmm. Very vaginal.
Yeah, very. Oh. So, yeah, I learned to love them, I think, since I met you, really. But when my mother, like, she used to make these huge events of thousands of orchids, and I used to say, guys, one day. But flowers to bring to a man, again, to be romantic is to be considerate. Mm. And if you want, you know, not necessarily being romantic is what I want to do to you. Yeah, so if I'm going to bring you flowers, and I know you have issues with your manlyhood, you know, like being a man and, you know, or you're kind of an old-fashioned guy, I might actually hurt you. So maybe it's to be romantic is also to think through, not to really think about what you would like to get out of the experience.
Yeah. You know? So somebody's brought something up here, Divan, that says sex is always, not always romantic, but lovemaking is. And we're going to come back to that because sometimes sex has nothing to do with romance.
True.
And lovemaking has nothing to do with romance.
True as well.
And it's kind of being in those delicious moments of sensuality, of kissing somebody's neck, of kind of breathing their fragrance into you, and just those little moments of these amazing touches.
Yeah, I don't think we emphasize that enough.
No, because we kind of go for the goal. You know, I was talking to somebody a while ago who came to see me, and she said, I know from the way he opens the door when he comes home at night if he wants sex.
Hmm. Yeah, we get to. But yeah, it's also we predict it, and sometimes it's in our heads.
Yeah, but kind of from that, she kind of knows that's the pattern. Mm. Instead of this wonderful buildup of something, this excitement, this connection, this being together that makes it very, very different.
But that's why I connect to the sentence, what is possible? Because from the way it looks in the movies, you can't learn fuck all. Okay, because it's roses there and it's baths and it's great, but it's not your true expression. And then what happens when you actually, you know, sometimes you think, what can I do? What can I do today to make my love happy, or to make this beautiful, mysterious, you know, ambiance, or to make her feel, that to be in that suspension, or to make him feel? And we don't know. Where do you find that information? Yeah.
So firstly, that comes from communicating. Second thing is that it's often the small things that are romantic, not necessarily the big gestures. Those are great. But the small little things.
You know, I think, well, I have a lot to say on it because, as I always point out, I'm asexual, and people kind of always want to tie up sex and romance, and it's the same thing. And sexual attraction and romantic attraction, and it's very different.
They are,
as
totally.
Human beings, we experience very different kinds of attraction. You have platonic attraction, that's between your friends. You have romantic attraction, that's the person that you want to spend your life together with and go to the movies and hold hands and do all of these sweet little things. And then you have sexual attraction, and that's like, you know, I want some of that.
Do that again.
And they are very...
Come on, do that again.
I'm not a circus animal.
You are not. But if you decide to do it, that's called... That you
that's
want,
agency.
Yeah.
But that's kind of...
I don't perform on command.
It's like pirate auditions.
No, it was more like her. Anyway.
You are... Anyway, you are hot. So
I was
fine.
Making a point.
Yes, continue.
So these things are very different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sexual attraction often can be fleeting. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who I'm sure have had a one-night stand at some point in their lives, maybe. I'm just saying.
No, we don't know those people. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tamara shakes her head very convincingly. No, but nonetheless, so it's something that can be very fleeting. And you can have that sexual attraction in the absence of romantic attraction. Mm. But romantic attraction generally... You can't think of it as, I bought you flowers. That's one unit of romance. Romance doesn't come in units. It's like an overarching thing. It's continuous. It's the way you act. It's the way you think. It's the way you interact with whoever you're in this partnership with. It's not something that happens at one fixed point in time. It's not the flowers or the bath or the scented candles. So that's where the small things come into it, because that's an expression of what's going on underneath.
Yes. And that's,
you know,
the idea
of saying that I'm thinking about you.
And that's the idea of being present.
Exactly.
That
right.
I'm present in this connection with you that's pervasive. And it doesn't mean that it's every minute of the day, but it's simply that there's this amazing space that I'm putting myself into in connection
with you.
Absolutely right. And we can express that through gestures. And the gestures can be big or they can be small. Yeah. But they can be sincere or they can be insincere. Mm. And anyone can do the net florist thing.
Yeah.
Easy. But
what happens, Jonty, when and I'm just, you know, asking the question. It's on the table. Some people say, it's not me. It's just not me.
I have an issue with that.
Mm.
It's like people who say, I don't like touch and I don't like being touched. And all of us are sensual beings. And something along the way derails certain elements of who we are. And I think that all of us want to share that intimacy. We want to share that vulnerability. We just don't always know how. And often it's a scary space for us. So romance and vulnerability definitely go hand in hand. But where that impacts on helping a relationship last says that in that space, if I'm willing to share that of myself with you, we have something that can actually be a really lasting experience and a really touching experience. So romance is very much the heart stuff. It's not always, as you said, the sexual stuff, but it's very much the heart stuff. And that's a really beautiful, and that's often a much deeper connection than a sexual attraction, because sexual attraction will come and go. So think about a 20-year relationship, for example. Sexual attraction in that is going to come and go. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to change. There's no question of that. And you know, one of the other things that's really amazing about romance, it's very often about people talking to each other. And technology has done this amazing thing that you have these people sitting in a studio on their fucking phones.
It's called tweeting the tweets of the shows, and then Jonty's not happy because he wants to speak to us in the eyes, and we're just tweeting all kind of stuff.
We're actually communicating with the listeners on multiple fronts. Like, Jonty's like, all right, we're doing a radio show. It's like, here's flowers, that's romance. And then tomorrow and I are holistic, you know. It's like, I took out the trash, and I got you the flowers, and I cooked you a nice dinner, and I made the bed for you.
And I brought two other chicks.
We're doing all of it at once, and Jonty's like, he just wants to go for the gold.
Yeah.
So, interesting thing, took out the trash. And that's a big one that a lot of people don't understand often, that can be one of the most amazingly kind of romantic gestures.
Especially if you keep the trash can in the bedroom. Mm.
Especially if there's a strike.
Now we're getting into a whole different world.
No, we have a strike, so nobody does everybody have a strike? Nobody collects their garbage as well, or just...
No, it's everywhere.
Everywhere
in Joburg at the moment.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And you know what? You want to know how to bring a city to its knees? That's what you do.
Mm.
Stop collecting garbage.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well known.
And after a couple of days, couple of weeks, chaos.
Mm-mm.
Absolute chaos. So you see, Divan is sending us all these messages that says you must start slowly foreplay. We're waiting for Divan to get to his favorite topic, which is...
Somehow this has to do with
coming.
Okay.
Tomorrow covering him in the tala.
No. He just goes for the gold. Prostate massage from tomorrow.
Yeah, prostate massage.
Yes.
Which is not a bad idea. If he comes to the studio and we're doing a live demo,
anytime. We've said that.
Yeah,
so
keen.
More than welcome.
I think it's a very,
put
very
your money,
good
or
put
rather
money
put,
where your
put
prostate
your,
is.
Put your butt where your mouth is.
That's a whole other fetish.
Absolutely. So kiss slowly, tease her nipples with ice or not, feather small things and SMS and say I love you and I miss you. So those are kind of worlds apart, because the body stuff, yes. But the SMS, the messaging, that's a very different story. And this is where a lot of guys kind of don't get it. That a lot of times sex starts hours before you get home.
True.
And that's where the romance starts to come in. The sensuality. A message in the day that doesn't have to be sexual. I'm thinking about you. That's all.
Not just it doesn't have to be sexual, but divorce it completely from the sexual stuff. If you're doing it because you're trying to get someone into bed, they're going to be wise to that.
Absolutely.
You know, like I said, insincerity is really easy to pick up. And
that's what romance does. It puts us very present, and it actually does make it makes something very authentic.
Well, romance is like saying, I love you even if we're not having sex.
And I enjoy being with you for whatever it is that we do share.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And we've lost a lot of that in terms of the time that we spend with somebody. Because a lot of our time, so it's sitting in front of the TV and we're watching Netflix and not having these amazing conversations.
Yeah, look, that's not to say that it can't necessarily be romantic, but it's definitely, it's something, like I said, not one size fits all.
Okay.
You know, if you're present in the same moment and you're having the same experiences and you're sharing them, that's one thing. You know, I'm not saying, oh, throw the TV out. Mm. That's not for everyone. And it doesn't have to be.
No, and that's a part of it, but it's not all of it, and it's not all the time. Let's just go for a little detour somewhere else. Okay. We have done expanded orgasm on the show with a woman.
Yeah.
We are sometime soon probably going to do a live squirting thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've done two nude shows, and our next nude show will be for spring this year.
Okay.
Invite me for the massage, he says.
Wonderful.
Next week, we are doing a show on anal massage for men, on prostate stimulation, and we are doing with Divan a live prostate massage demo. I can't say it clearer than that. There we go.
Yeah, but he needs to know how the studio looks like, and there's about 30 people in the studio that also would like to see that.
It's okay. You put your money where your mouth is. Yep, there we go.
Definitely.
You want to open your mouth. It has been done.
Yeah. So there's something about flirting, and
the
the toothless one has spoken. There's something about flirting that needs to also to be said. This is a great tool to expand really who flirting and romance. Expand your emotional or your sensual vocabulary, as we like to say. It's a good exploration tool, and it's something that it's okay, I think, if you don't know what to do. It's really, really a wonderful thing just to ask the question, what can I do? Not, you know, it's a great exploration question. What can I do? It opens the door. What actually she likes? What does he like? What will really make them feel special? It's a wonderful question.
And that becomes an amazing exploration.
Mm.
And if we link that to kind of what we spoke about last week, which was the curiosity, that's one of the most important factors in keeping a relationship alive, because that keeps the curiosity alive.
100%.
And what you like today is going to change over time. And that becomes so important. And we learn that. And we learn that the goal of flirting is actually not sex.
Well, that's debatable.
Well, it can be.
It's debatable.
It can be. Oh, now starting with stuff, you see. So tomorrow must be top. I mean, this is really just getting.
All right. So anyway.
Thank you so much. It was really nice chatting with you.
Flirting is something that's very versatile. Yeah. And sometimes we flirt with our friends knowing that it's not going anywhere just because it's fun.
But that's the point. It's fun because it's an exciting, it's a wonderful, energizing
and sometimes it's very validating and very self-affirming.
Yeah, and it's all of these wonderful things. If we take it lightly, because it should be light.
Well, that's what it sounds, a flirt.
Yeah, you know, and you it's light. It's fun. It's bubbly. It's kind of flirty. Let's just have this little connection with somebody, and then you move on. You're doing it in the supermarket, and you just kind of two little sentences with somebody. Wow, that was really cool. And a smile. And off you go.
Wow, those are nice melons you have.
That's not the definition.
And that's a good bunch of bananas you're picking there, dude.
Okay.
All right, auntie, you've got to try that one day.
Yeah.
Give us a full report back.
But where do you draw the line?
I recommend you do it in Boxburg.
Yeah.
Have you seen that picture of a Boxburg selfie stick?
Yeah.
It's a monkey wrench, like this huge 6-foot monkey wrench holding the phone up.
I'm going to put that on the podcast page with the little video that I found about Tinder, that there's like a little machine that swipes for you. So it just really swipes whatever right or whatever the case may be to approve it. I'm not mastering my Tinder. I need to work on the Tinder skills. Apparently, you know what? Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. I have an acquaintance that she recently had not an easy breakup, and Tinder became a friend because it's kind of answering her emotional skills and her personality skills, because it's very difficult for her. She works very hard to go out there. And she upgraded to the Tinder Pro so she can see other cities and other places that she's going to travel to. And quite frankly, when she defines exactly what she likes, who she likes, there's nice flirtation there. There's nice discussions there. She actually enjoys the people. I'm not sure they enjoy, but you know, there, something's happening there. We need to acknowledge it. This is the 21st century. This is what's happening. People flirt, and they also almost premeditate their flirting. They are creating a flirting, a scheduled flirting.
Yeah, and it becomes a pattern. Mm-hmm. And I kind of say the same thing to everybody. Instead of saying, well, actually, let's see what the connection is. And from the connection, we can actually have a conversation.
Isn't it scary to go to somebody like the flirting thing? Isn't like, is it for me? Like if I go, as you say, in a supermarket, give me a whole new idea. I thought it's only with your partner or somebody you're hitting on. But do you encourage flirting with people?
Yes, because it's being creative and it's being fun and it's being connecting and it's being human. And it doesn't mean that I'm coming on to you, and it doesn't mean that I'm making a pass at you, and it doesn't mean anything other than a little moment of interaction that can actually connect us in something that's quite beautifully human.
Having said which, if the subject of your flirtation is very obviously uncomfortable and does not desire the attentions, then know when to quit.
But that's the thing, know when to quit. To say, okay, so it's uncomfortable, let's walk away. Thank you for the moment, that's all.
You know, everyone's been there. Sometimes you tell a joke and it falls flat. Sometimes you try a line and it falls flat. It happens.
Absolutely.
Just cut your losses and walk away.
But that's human.
No one owes you.
You're not
going to
get it all right.
True.
All the time. But it's this little beautiful connection between people.
It is.
And that's all.
And it is making it, if it's tasteful, it makes you feel good. If just a person goes and says, you look lovely today, and keeps on going.
That's all.
Yeah. Or
and that doesn't mean anything other than what it is. And we've taken this sort of political correctness and sexual correctness to this place that's on some level kind of absurd, that doesn't allow for a lot of those interactions just for what they are. And that becomes really, really beautiful. So a lot of that comes down to intention. What is your intention? And you know, in all of the massage workshops and all of the touch workshops, we teach this. Your touch communicates your intention. So if my intention is coming from a sexual space, that's what you're going to feel. If my intention is to touch from the heart, whether that's healing, whether that's connecting, whether that's just an expression of love, that's what the touch becomes. So it gets you kind of clearer with yourself. What's my intention of this little interaction with you?
And if the answer to that is to be a giant creepoid douchebag, then...
Then be honest with yourself and say, so that's my intention. It's going to narrow the possibility of my interactions enormously. And it's going to narrow the response that I'm going to get enormously. But if I honestly acknowledge that, then fair chance, Willie's at Nickel Way is not the best place to hang out and do that. Because at some point, somebody's either going to slap you in some way.
Slap you for your what?
Something.
Well, I think it's a wonderful place to be. If there's any tourists listening coming to South Africa and they want to see the most beautiful men and women that I think exist in South Africa, go to William Nicol, Pick and Pay. So I don't know what's happening there.
I thought you were going to say the Cliff Central studio on a Friday morning at 10 o'clock, but you know, whatever.
That I already said so many times.
I'm
trying to camouflage. Yeah. No, don't take it personally. We already said what we think.
What am I? A chopped lover?
Yes. Well, you're definitely not. And with your red lips there, I'm just trying not to be, you know, not politically correct, not to flirt with you because...
Okay. So one of the things that I really love as an expression of romance is music. And this is just, for me, absolute smoothness of romance. And I love this.
Everybody loves somebody sometimes. Everybody falls
in love somehow. Something your kiss just told me, my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying, my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, like you.
Everybody loves somebody somehow.
Okay, so.
It was wonderful. It was.
It was. It's from an age of romance.
So before you cut us off with that track from the 1600s, yes. I just have to...
Listen here, one of my tasks is to educate you all musically that I've been doing since the beginning of the show. Duncan's starting to learn about good music. So here's the thing about music that lasts, okay? Are people going to be listening to it in a year from now? And are people going to be listening to it 20 years from now?
The fact that you're listening to it 100 years from now does not mean that the rest of
do
us...
Do I denigrate your music?
You don't even know what my music is.
It doesn't matter. Do I denigrate it?
Do I subject
kids,
you to
kids,
it?
Kids, kids, kids. This is a classic.
What I wanted to say was that before you interrupted us with the...
Dinosaur
the
music.
Yes, the dinosaur music. Tamara marked that I have very red lips today.
Mm-hmm. And beautiful.
And the reason that I do is because it is the month of April and there is a campaign called Red My Lips. Mm-hmm. And it ran last year as well. You can check it out at redmylips.org. And it raises awareness about victims of sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And it speaks out against victim blaming. So do your part. Wear something that's red. The month of April, we're standing up, we're speaking out, we're raising awareness. It's going on all over the planet. And it's a really positive cause.
So we can all wear red lipstick anytime in the month.
You absolutely can, because lipstick is not gendered. It's makeup. Mm-hmm. It's neutral. It doesn't not boy or girl or anything like that. But you can wear red socks. You can wear a red T-shirt. You can wear a pretty little red bow in your mm-hmm. hair. Anything. It's all about the color red, and it's about sexual violence is not okay.
Red underwear?
If you have it sticking out, then
if you're not flashing.
Yeah, so you need to be flashing the underwear, otherwise it doesn't count.
Mm.
Okay. We got
it. Well done. It's really, really cool. We're going to retweet it now. Okay. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
And April Fool, so, let's not take it there, but it is 1st of April.
I was thinking about that earlier.
We'll kind of give it a skip.
Yeah. I think we do enough of that kind of every week almost. So
I mean, the best April Fool's joke that we could pull mm-hmm. is to be serious.
Absolutely.
Yes, which is not in our agenda.
Which is not really going to happen too much. No. So one of the amazing aspects of romance and flirting is that it's like playing. It's fun. And we forget about that. And we forget about that sexually, where we take the sexual stuff so seriously. And we take a lot of the relationship stuff so seriously. We take a lot of the interaction so seriously. Instead of just having fun with this. And it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be play. Because sex and sensuality are one of the ways that we as adults play. And we forget that. We make it so serious. And we forget about just laughing. And we forget about being absolutely absurd and ridiculous. So you have to be able to and willing to laugh at yourself. And that is really so important.
Yeah,
because
I think
if you think about it and you watch yourself actually having sex, you want to do something amazing. Film yourself having sex and watch it afterwards.
That's not good,
and see what you look like.
Yeah, we really have this image. I think Hollywood just tried and porn tried to really kind of like, guys, we're really doing you a favor. Mm. Like, you don't want to see yourself. You really don't want to see yourself. You know, it happens to me. I'm actually capturing myself saying, fuck, this looks ridiculous.
It does. And laugh at it and enjoy it and say, this is so absurd what we're doing. Look at these toys. Look at these things we have here. So here we are. And there's this person lying down and she's got whipped cream or strawberries or whatever spread. And I'm licking the stuff off. And she's moaning. And it's like the most absurd thing. But let's laugh about it and let's have
fun and enjoy
it. It's
not brain, eh? The brain needs to take a break there.
But let's just make it fun. Let's make it like, let's play with it. How absurd can you get? And how absurd are you willing to allow yourself to get? And think about what is the most absurd thing that you could actually do? And can you laugh? And can you have an orgasm and laugh about it?
How did we get from flirting to orgasm?
Like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. In one click of the
fingers. One glass of wine.
That's what.
But you know what? I think in the same, like in flirting and in romance, try to push yourself away from just getting to bed. Just 5 more minutes.
Yeah, you've got to take sex right out of the equation.
Yeah, it's kind of like annoying we're saying it, but it's just for romance, for the sake of romance, for the sake of that. Take it out. Just do an evening which is all dedicated to her or him or yourself. Be romantic with yourself, which is also very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And take the time and actually enjoy it. And be in the moment and play. So a lot of flirting and a lot of romance is about sensation, which means using all of our senses, which are...
Smell, taste. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Smell, taste,
sight.
Yeah?
And the most important is intimacy.
Is that a sense?
Yes.
You left out spider sense.
Spider sense.
Yeah. Spider sense is a big one.
Okay. So how would spider sense add to intimacy? Serious question.
Well, I'm not Spider-Man, so I can't...
No, you brought it up, so now...
You get yourself out of it.
How would spider sense add to intimacy?
Because it's anticipation.
There we go.
Sorry, anticipation.
Wonderful. You know, when Anastasia opens her mouth, she's amazing.
We got to do...
You're not the first person to
we
say gotta
that. Do a
I'm so
we
glad.
We got to do a Rocky Horror morning.
Rocky Horror. I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely. But that is such an important part of the whole thing, is that anticipation. Is the message, is the touch, is being in that moment, and what are you going to feel from it, and what is he going to do, and what is she going to do, and and that is just magical and so, so beautiful. And that's the sensuality, and that's being willing to be open and to feel and to say something. And it doesn't matter how stupid you think it sounds in your head, you say those words to somebody and they go, and that is just so beautifully exciting. So be with your senses and be with the smell that's in the moment. Be with the taste, the touch. Be with just being present. That's the power of it, because it's just totally in that present little moment of connection. That's a breath. And it's your heart that opens, and it's like, wow, everything is in that moment.
I'm a person who really, really struggles with take things slow and do things with intention, you know.
I've noticed that.
Is it? Oh, you'd know that. Yes. That's amazing. I don't know how I didn't, you know, hit it properly, but...
Nope.
I think it's a good exercise for me to really not do something. Also, what is your agenda behind stuff? Mm. So for me, just to do something for the sake of doing it and then linger and linger some more, because we kind of blame male sexuality a lot, which is not appropriate to do. It's just it happens sometimes that we say, yeah, men are more, you know, pushing or whatever, and it's just a manly thing. And I would like to, you know, just retract on that one and just say that for everybody, it's a wonderful exercise to be more patient with themselves, with the world, with their lives. And to do that is just a fun exercise. Mm. It's a fun exercise.
Because that's where the layers come in. And this is it. In our world, we've kind of got to the surface of things. And we like that. Things are on the surface. They're kind of easy. And we don't go into the depths of something. We don't allow ourselves to kind of sink into the nuance, into the subtlety. And that's, I think, so much of what it is of connection. It's this amazing subtlety that reveals itself more and more and more and more if we're willing to kind of be there and to go with it and to really learn about somebody. And that's one of the most beautiful things, to really learn about somebody. But you got to be willing to go through those layers.
What's the most romantic thing that you ever done?
Wow.
For someone.
Wow, that's kind of an interesting one.
It's always a question like, does money count? Was it needs to be like, it somehow has to be with, we took the whole day. I prepared everything and there was a jet involved. You know, somehow there needs to be like...
It doesn't need to be the big things.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I want to hear the true expression, maybe the true expression of romance.
Okay. So something that I did once, which was, I think, really awesome, was it was somebody's birthday and we went out for a tasting menu. So it was like 11 courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought 11 little presents and they were really small things. And I went to the restaurant before and they brought a present with each course.
That's beautiful.
That was all. But they were really personal things. And they were small. None of them were big. None of them cost a lot. It was just simply that.
There's so much pressure also. Like, if you're a super creative person, like I have a friend, she's a super creative creative person. I want to literally borrow her mind. I want to, like, tell me all these things that you, because she's super romantic and she knows to make this amazing vacation with the little gifts and stuff. I'm not that creative. And sometimes I'm literally, you know, picking her brain to understand how she thinks.
But romance kind of, in a way, it forces you to be more creative because it's there inside of you. It's simply a question of letting it out more.
So I have a funny story about flirting. So it was a year ago, I think, or a year and a half ago, and I was in hospital. I flirted with somebody, which you got to hear this. So it was in hospital. I went to visit a friend in hospital, and after that, I went to have coffee with his wife, and she knows, you know, who I am, so it's fine. You know, no secrets there. She knows in many ways who I am. So anyway, so we are going there to, I don't know, Mug and Bean or something, and we're sitting having coffee, and I see this gorgeous guy, and we're chatting, and I think, you know, is he gay? Maybe he's too cute, he's too beautiful. You know, I'm kind of doing analysis, Tamar analysis. For more analysis, please click there, you know. So, yeah, and then I'm sitting there, and she said, are you really going to do this? I said, of course. I'm going up to him and say, hi, how are you? La, la, la. You know, this is who I am. I really think you're cute. I'm just, this is my number. And and I would really like to hear from you, Shem, before, of course, before my, this relationship that I have now. And he was so shocked. Okay, it was in an area next to Pretoria, I think. There it's not allowed, you know, for a woman to approach a guy. But, you know, he wasn't like 17 or something. I did it in the proper age and everything was fine. But I never heard from him.
Mm.
So, but I was happy with myself. For me, it was...
That's the cool thing.
That was. But I liked the way I did it. It was like I wasn't afraid. Mm. I went... You know, it's very easy when we go to the clubs, to the fantasy clubs, or when we go to a bar, or, you know, you go to a place, you're like, you know, you're going and you're flirting, it's fine.
Yeah, but that's about a pickup.
Yeah.
Instead of saying...
Well, not always, but...
No, but often that's kind of the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, wow, you look really nice tonight, and walk away.
Yeah.
That's all.
I find it graceful. I don't know, when somebody just flirts with you and doesn't want anything in return.
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody being romantic and just, you know, it's not about what's going to happen later on.
And it's exciting. So here's an interesting thing for couples. If you're going to go out, like during the day, make time to half an hour to have some coffee. And what is going to distinguish this particular coffee from every other kind of coffee that you've had is don't talk about your kids. Don't talk about work.
Amazing.
Talk about something else. Talk about you. Talk about feelings. Talk about something that's not practical. That's not about something wrong with the house. That's not about arrangements for the weekend. Be there with each other. And make that really, really different.
It's a basic rule for a lot of, you know, healthy communication between, you know, whenever you want to keep intimacy, pleasure, and a safe space to keep on pursuing pleasure, because mm-hmm. the moment you put, you know, you butt in, you know, start saying, did you call the plumber and how's yeah. the kids? And yep. it immediately takes everything away. And then you need yeah. to, you really need to schedule.
So, you know, one of the things that we teach, and this might be the beginning of creating a romantic space. When you come into the space, you're coming into the space as lovers. Not as parents, not as colleagues, not as partners, not as work, not as anything else, other than coming into the space as lovers. And we teach a greeting with this that we call a heart salutation. And very simply, it allows your heart to connect with the person that you're in the space with. And you're coming into the space often for a purpose. There's an intention to share something. So expand that into, I'm coming into the space to share this meal, this coffee, this bath with you as your lover. And I'm going to be present in that. And I'm inviting you to be present with me as my lover. And that's all. Simply that presence. And all the other roles that we have, let's put aside for 5 minutes. Let's leave them there. And let's just be here with each other. And afterwards, we'll pick them up again.
So don't multitask.
No.
Well, unless the multitask means to cook, sing a serenade, I don't know, kind of like...
Flash your eyelids. Flash your eyelids. You just did.
Yes. Unless that's called multitask. Let's do the multitask around really thing. And don't try to be useful. One thing that really kills it for me, if somebody's trying to be practical or useful...
Do the practical before.
Yeah.
Plan your space. Plan your experience.
It's really sexy to be relaxed. Mm. Sometimes I actually work with it with my partner, that he's a super efficient person. And sometimes you need to switch off. Mm. And, you know, so if we juggle three girls together, no kidding, but the idea of really being in a place that you can just chill. Mm. And that's super sexy to me. And not like to try and work, even if it's in a self-growth methods or meditation, work with a psychologist, work with an art therapist, whatever it is, to just create a space you can listen and you can be with your partner. That is huge. Mm.
And that's some of the ultimate of romance. Because it's about presence and it's about connection. Nothing else, just being there.
Is there a romantic orgasm?
Of course there is.
Hmm. Like when you hug each other, what's yeah. a romantic orgasm
so,
to
you? So, yeah, you want to know about a romantic hug.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as, okay. as a conscious sexual hug.
Okay.
So here's what you do. Come close to your partner. And for a couple of breaths, look into each other's eyes. And for some people, this is about the hardest thing to do because it's so intimate. Eye contact is, wow, that's a tough one. Because that's where I really see you. So if I can see your eyes, I will see exactly where you are. And when you're there with love, I will see that. And when you're not present, I will see that. And when you're scared and vulnerable, I will see that. And when you're open, I will see that. So just a few breaths into each other's eyes. And then put your arms around each other, but gently. And keep breathing really deeply. And as you breathe, let your bodies come closer and melt into each other. And just let your bodies melt into each other. And just let your bodies melt into each other a little bit more. And let your bodies melt into each other just a little bit more. And then a little bit more. And stay there and just breathe.
We are so scared that that's going to kill sexuality between us. And that is actually what enhances the space to build, you know, more fire.
That's it.
Yeah.
And in that... The world is there in those few moments.
Unless the kid starts crying, but yeah.
No, but that's where in a few moments you can have that amazing sharing, that amazing connection, that amazing intimacy, and it doesn't need to be more than that.
We're scared of what we can't see, eh? We're like if there's no red rose, if there's no, you know, orgasm squirt, something to put on the table, we're afraid of that.
But those
like,
are just the symbols of it.
Yeah, but It's a good place to identify.
To something else.
Yeah. Okay.
So that really puts you in the moment, being present, and you can share that kind of romance, that intensity, that feeling with anybody if you're willing to be vulnerable and then step away. And it doesn't have to be more than that.
Okay. I'm all for it. It's come.
And then she orgasmed.
And then she orgasmed. Yeah. I think I'm a good example for a person who's really discovering the power of suspension and all these beautiful things. Yeah. I'm now waiting. The biggest thing I'm waiting for is Anastasia's book. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about that.
That doesn't matter. I'm just saying that this is what I'm waiting for.
You know, I think it's before.
Really just, you know, we have to kind of appreciate the dichotomy because we spend a lot of time talking about how people are not liberated sexually and exploring their sexuality and things like that. But the flip side of that is that sometimes we need to liberate ourselves from the sexuality.
Yeah.
And explore everything that lies outside of it and to say, well, you know, sex is great and whatever, there's a lot more to it. It's not the be-all. It's not the end-all.
Nope.
And, you know, it's even just to take it one step further, for a lot of people who have whatever kind of problems having sex, be it mechanical or psychological or emotional, whatever it is, there are other ways to intimacy. And there are other ways that you can explore that with someone else. And sometimes even that can be therapeutic when it comes back to sex.
Yeah, because that's really about love. And the healing is in the love. The change, the growth, the release is in the love.
True.
And everything else becomes an expression of that.
True knowledge and true knowing something is knowing both sides and going both, trying from the spectrum.
And often the sexual stuff is the easy stuff. The emotional stuff is not. Because that's where we really reveal ourselves. To have sex on a lot of levels is easy. The emotional stuff, to be that vulnerable, to be that revealing, to be that present, that's not always the easy stuff. But that's the power. The sex is easy. Orgasms, easy.
Not if you're trans, just by the way. Just throwing it in there. You know, sex is easy.
Not if you're trans. No, it's not. But
okay, so
inspire us.
Tell us again where we get information on the Read My Lips, please.
Readmylips.org.
Yeah.
That's readmylips.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can find it on, I think it's been retweeted on Sex Talk. Mm-hmm. It's tweeted on Anaphylaxis. It's on my Instagram, my Facebook. It's everywhere.
Okay. So that's for the month of April.
April, yeah.
Okay. Waves of Pleasure in Mozambique is filling up, guys. Look at this. Tartaruga Tented Camp. Go and check it out.
I'm so going.
The most awesome, awesome place. And we are filling up. So bookings are limited. 7 couples only. So you got to get your bookings in because once it's full, it's full.
It's a real gift for your relationship.
It's peak experience in life.
It's amazing.
Yes. So we have a lot of options for next week. Let's see how that kind of plays out. Going to be an interesting one. But it was really cool this morning. Thank you all for being here.
It was very
nice
gentle.
To be back.
It is so cool.
So
to
good
have
that
you.
You're back. CliffCentral.com.